We're locked in. GloucesterCast 304, the annual surprise Joey on his birthday podcast, hosted by Kim Smith.
It's like this real life right now. Are we serious?
It's a surprise.
It's still a surprise every year to you.
I swear to God, this is a surprise. I did not know.
Is it a surprise of who shows up, or is it just a surprise in general?
Is it a surprise how old we're all going each year?
I had no idea people were coming in. I honestly got, I had no idea. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm just clueless. Maybe because I'm sleep deprived from watching the Red Sox.
You're sleep deprived, yeah.
Yeah. 51 is not like a big one. 50 is kind of a big one. But 50, I wasn't thinking about like people coming here and singing happy birthday to me, but I'm very thankful. I'm especially thankful
for that.
As always, it's all about people that bring me food that make me happy. Kim brought my favorite tiramisu, which is my favorite kind of dessert. Alicia brought her special coffee cake that she knows that I love, so I'm really thankful. Thank you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much.
How was it? Was it really
was
good?
So good.
Your coffee cake. You know how much it means to me. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wasn't that sweet of her?
Anything I can do for
so sweet.
I'm
she's so
super
sweet.
Happy that she's here.
I am. You know what? It's nice, but it would have been nicer if she brought the coffee cake. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. No, I can't eat that many carbs anyway.
No, we have the tiramisu. That do you make amazing?
It is amazing. Do you make the? I saw a couple. I don't know if it was a couple months ago. You posted that you made the coffee cake and you were handing them out to people. But
the coffee rolls.
Coffee rolls. Yeah.
What?
She's now made a coffee roll.
Probably in almost a year.
Has I haven't seen one in like 2 years. So.
I might have dreamed of it.
Yeah,
you might
have been in your dreams.
I think I dreamt it. Have you been around? Do you remember Mamie's Kitchen?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
We love that.
I think those coffee rolls have been at least 2 years because I've been trying to get her to make me a coffee roll for a year.
Alicia.
For your birthday, maybe.
Cox.
No, like I even tried. Well, my ex was around. I was like, you know, I'm just saying.
Well,
even for my birthday, and she was like, "Yep, no, not happening. Not even for my birthday did she make one."
She's gonna be like Cher. And she's going to come out of retirement, and she's going to be like, "I'm not making the coffee rolls anymore." When you least expect it, she's going to be like, "I'm making coffee rolls."
Yeah, she's going to make them in Amesbury, where no one can get to her. Is what's going to happen. She's going to be stuck in Amesbury, making them in Amesbury, where no one can get to her in a blizzard, is what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's gonna be when I'm home.
You do seem happy, but you went from having a perfect situation where you're in Gloucester, working in Gloucester, moving to fucking Amesbury.
Right. Correct.
But you seem happy.
How long a drive is Amesbury?
It's exactly 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Yeah. No, I am happy, and I've always wanted to move off the island, so I'm happy to do that.
Amesbury is an up and coming town, right? Tell us about Amesbury. What's cool in Amesbury?
So each one of their restaurants that they have, they have one Italian place, but everything is from scratch. The pasta, I mean, it's amazing. That's called Restaurant Molinese. And then you have Fat Cat Bistro, which is kind of like a Franklin. And so
is there a flatbread pizza company there?
Yes, they're the flatbread pizza company. Then you have Trina's Starlight Lounge, where it's like corn dogs and old-fashioned hamburgers each restaurant really is just so amazing. There's only a few of them, right? There's probably like four or five, but you can't go wrong. I haven't had a bad meal there anywhere, so it's really great. And a lot of the old shops, a lot of the run down downtown popping up shops, they're doing spas down there, and there's upscale liquor stores, and so it's just so.
Jeez, this sounds like the perfect place for you.
It's awesome. No, it's great. So
a lot of these old mill towns are finding this resurgences.
Yeah, and they are redoing the old mills downtown into condos.
Gentrification.
So
that's what it is.
You say it like it's a bad thing.
No, I just came back from Oakland, and I didn't even recognize it. It was. I was like, what happened to this street? Oakland, California. And I was sitting in one of the blocks, and like we were in a brewery, and I was like, I don't even remember what this looked like 2 years ago. And they're like, oh, remember this used to be this rundown dive bar. And it was like this clean barber shop where they had like spot for kids and an old, like a outside chessboard and checkers and stuff for kids to hang out while their parents got like their fades and stuff like that. And then there's a brewery with an ice cream shop like right there too. And it's like the craziest thing because it's all these pop-up shops. And they've given these...
The artists and the artisans always make the rundown places the cool places.
Well, business owners and landlords are now giving these places, instead of leaving their businesses just empty, they're like, you know, come in for 6 months, right, rent-free. If your business does well, start paying me rent. And that's what they've started doing. And it
that's
just
a
took
great
off.
Idea. Huh.
And now the place is blowing up and everyone's starting to move in on it. And it's just become this big booming neighborhood now, and everyone's moving in. And with the tech boom and the gentrification, where everyone's being pushed out.
Everybody's being pushed out of San Francisco.
Yeah, they're all moving to Oakland, right. And that's what's happening. Everyone's moving to the East Bay. You're seeing it now in Amesbury, and you're seeing it in all, like, even Lowell is
right,
cause
Boston
changing out.
Boston is so... huge housing shortage in Boston, and it's incredibly expensive. So,
yeah.
Same thing.
Parking shortage for sure. So, we buried the lead with my. I'm sorry that my birthday took the precedence over
that's
the
okay.
Big Red Sox win last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that is the story. And who watched? Who watched? Hands. Right here. Oh,
I'm not allowed
wow.
to.
But can we talk about the 18 later. Innings? Come on.
I stayed up for it.
So, do you want to? This is the really.
I was up at 2:30 in the morning to offload
so
a trailer load of 55-gallon barrels of herring. 2:30 in the morning. This, and I went to bed at 3:45 a.m. the following day. I was up for 25.
Oh. 25
hours. And you lived to post about it.
I was all in. I didn't go to sleep.
The most amazing thing about breaking that record, and I don't know why anybody does, I mean, I just find this so interesting, is that the record that they broke was in 1916. Ooh. The Red Sox were playing the Dodgers.
I did not
yeah.
know that.
The Brooklyn
yeah.
Dodgers.
Wow.
And that's what blows my
wow.
what blows my mind, is that the record was broken.
Wow.
By the same two teams.
102 years
exactly.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Nathan, so whoever watched, well, so most people didn't watch all the way through on the 18-inning game. I happened to. And even though we lost, I'm so thankful I stayed up to witness Eovaldi's performance. The gutsy pitching. At 98 pitches, he was throwing 99 miles an
crazy.
Hour.
Wow.
And this guy had two Tommy John surgeries.
Yeah.
I mean, these are...
What's a Tommy John surgery?
It's like very hardcore reconstructive surgery on your... Is it elbow or Tommy John, or is it
shoulder?
So anyway, it's like...
Wow.
And this guy is going to be... So he could have completely wrecked himself, and... He's going to be coming up for his contract is up at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
later on.
A lot of money potentially.
Right.
You know, he's probably going to be a $10 to $15 million, maybe $20 million a year pitcher next year. But if he blew out his arm, he's a $0
yeah.
a year pitcher. Put it all on the line for this team.
His teammates gave him the standing ovation when he came into the locker room.
Incredible. Incredible. I mean, I mean, losing the game was hard to deal with, but I think a lot of people felt blessed to be able to witness how that game went. You know, how that game. And then last night, with being down, was it the seventh inning? We were down 4-0.
Yeah.
Down 4-0 in an opposing stadium, and to battle
to come back.
Their bullpen is. Garbage.
And with two outs.
With two outs. And how many the number of runs scored with two outs is nothing short of.
I'm not allowed to watch.
Why?
I haven't watched a single game all season. I've been following the scores.
Yeah.
But I haven't been able to sit down and actually watch a game. So if I start watching now, I'm going to jinx it. And so the night of the 18 innings, I watched up until the seventh inning. And then the minute I left my friend's house, they scored that first run. So I was like, oh, well, yeah. Then
you're out.
Yeah.
You're
so
out.
I'm like, I can't watch. No. Yeah. So last night I was at Mile Marker for Halloween weekend, and they had every TV on, and my friends were like, you can't watch any television.
Thank goodness.
So what happened was they were all yelling, and I'm like, so something happened, right? Can you at least just tell me the score? So I was allowed to watch the last out of the ninth inning, at least.
With Kimbrel, shaky Kimbrel.
Yeah.
I was scared to death.
Yeah, he wasn't formidable.
But how about Machado? Okay,
no,
can we talk about Machado? Just this
so
is
cheap.
So it's so cheap. I mean, it's obviously so cheap, but so now old school baseball dictates that you drill the guy, right? But obviously you're not going to drill him. Like if you drill him and ignite the other team and they rally from there, is dumb, right? Major League Baseball. So now, so even if they wait till next season and they drill him, you know what's going to happen is the pitcher is going to get ejected immediately. So we are going to lose our pitcher for a couple of games for throwing at the guy. While this guy intentionally, he could have ended like he did with Pedroia.
Yeah.
Right? Pedroia, never going to play, probably never going to play again. And this guy took him, you know, that's a lot of money that he's taken out of the guy's mouth. Not that Pedroia's all set, I'm sure, but, you know, Steve Pierce.
Else, too, that isn't making their way up. You know, that's on their way up.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's absolutely outrageous. Major League Baseball, so he's in a contract year at the end of the year. Machado's in the end of the contract year. Major League Baseball should step in, and they should. They're not going to not let him play in the World Series because there'd be complete outrage on the other side.
Yeah.
But they should take games away from him next year that he won't get paid for, and they should fine him. Or else do they want him to get beaned? Because the only other way to get retribution is to bean him.
Yeah.
But they say, oh, you shouldn't throw at a guy. But I mean, what else can you do? What else can you do?
Find the guy that beans him.
And they'll find the guy that beans him.
So why don't they find him?
It's absolutely outrageous. What a piece of shit he is.
Well, why can't they just say it's an accident, just like he, you know, everyone could have said.
Because that's just the way it works. That's just the way it'll go.
Retaliation always gets fined.
Yeah, that's the way it'll go. They'll go immediately, they'll toss the pitch, they'll point to him and they'll throw him out of the game. Just the way it'll go. And so this morning one of my lobstermen came in to get bait, and I said, did you watch the game? He goes, you know what? I don't let my life be dictated by the wins and losses by a sports team. And you know, he's a nice guy. I like the guy and everything. And I understand his sentiment, but I in my head all I could think of, I really feel bad for this guy, because the joy. I mean, this is so exciting to me, and like. The emotion, the drama. This is this is better drama than any movie that I've ever seen in my entire life.
And you watched history. I mean, you would say, I watched that game. I was up until 3:30 a.m. and it was 7.5 hours.
Right.
And,
so
you
know. I was telling Mike, I had a conversation with my daughters last night. I'm like, you know, there's so many children in this country that have never had a single team go to a championship game.
I had to move here.
From Michigan? Nothing. The Lions, nothing. Yeah. The Tigers, nothing.
The Tigers were doing well at all.
College football, Michigan, go blue.
Go blue, babe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bo Schembechler.
Oh, all day.
Yeah. Well, are you a Michigan guy or a Michigan State guy?
I'm a Michigan guy.
Not a Michigan State guy.
What, that tech school, that agricultural school?
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Little brother?
I grew up, Michigan was my second favorite team. Other than BC, I grew up loving them, and Michigan was my second favorite team. Good, easy team to root for. So Michael DeCosta is here.
Yeah.
We've been, how long? How long have we talked about wanting to get him on?
Oh,
ever since we found he was the director, right?
Right from the beginning.
5 whole months.
Am I answering the question for you? Ask her the question and I answer it for her. But we're excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Great events happening at Maritime Heritage. Is that, did I say it right?
Maritime Gloucester.
Jesus
Christ. All of them.
Tell me how you got hired. What was it about you that do you think that you got you the job?
That's the director. I have history in maritime organizations like Amesbury and Lowellsville Shop. I was there for a while. And at Hull Life Saving Museum. I seem to resonate pretty well with the board. I think I like their direction, what they want to do with the place. We want to get it, you know, we're pretty active in the community already, but I think we could do more. I think we can be much more of a resource. Hard to say that when you think of the fact that we have just had 1,100 kids come through in the last month and a half.
Wow,
from all the
tremendous.
Grades, third, fourth, and fifth grades, all came through programmatically, and not just touring. This is like they came to us for programs.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
We have six or seven groups that we partner with that come routinely using our resources. But I think there's more we can do just to have the community come by. And I think that's what we're really looking to do. Make it a working waterfront again, that sort of thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
The gig program is just seems like every year it gets bigger and bigger.
They hold back. They only have so many seats that they can. They have more people that want to be rowing than they can actually offer memberships to.
Wow, I didn't know that.
There's
so
like
they
a
could. So if they built, what is the answer to build more boats?
I don't know what the answer to that is because it's not the number of boats. It's the number of people that can cox, that can actually take the people out. There's a lot of rowers, but not everyone's a coxswain. So.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, I say the same thing about the dories. Mm. There's no better value on this waterfront to get out on the water than the gig program. The door. You also have dories too. You can take
out
dories,
some
right?
Dories as well, but we haven't really started the dory program back up. We got to do that.
Well, to get on the door, even the international dory people, like that, that membership is next to nothing. The oars are the cost you the most, but at your place you probably have oars that people can use.
We do.
So, so you should pay for a membership at Gloucester Maritime. Maritime Gloucester.
Maritime.
Fuck, I will
never. No,
because
you
should. I'm just glad that you keep talking about it.
How much is a membership?
Family membership 60, individual memberships 40.
60?
Yeah.
60?
60.
Yeah, wow.
That's almost embarrassingly cheap.
It's so reasonable. It is. It's so affordable.
So you can get out on the water.
Yeah. Those aren't to get out. Those are just our memberships.
Okay.
The water programs, the gig rowers, I think it's $175 for the year.
For the year.
But still. Yeah. It's like
pay for more. Pay to get your boat clean. Pay to get your boat out of the water. Store your boat.
Yeah.
You know everything.
And
you get out on a dory or on a gig, and all you hear, it's funny because we're here at the dock.
Yeah.
You can probably hear seven different motors running in the background all the day long. That's all I hear is these pumps grinding away in my ears, and like I'll go down on a dory. And pull away from the dock, all of a sudden,
it's so quiet.
That's all you hear is the clicking of the oars and the whoosh of the water from the.
It's romantic, isn't it?
It is so romantic. It really is.
You make me fall asleep. Yeah. Just thinking about it.
I thought I was going for something else.
We're trying to.
I was going for something else. But as long as Kate doesn't have that reaction, I'll be all right. For Christ's sakes. But anyway, I mean, but it is more the the tours, like that upstairs part.
Yeah,
the
Schooner Gallery is cool.
The Schooner Gallery is so beautiful, and I go back, and we probably talk about this three or four times a year about like the top, like when people come to Gloucester, what are the top things you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Heritage Center is always in my top five. I always say. A sail on the Landing because those are my people.
They're great.
Absolutely. Harold Burnham is fantastic as well, but those guys are
mine. Brought schooners back to Boston?
Huh?
He brought schooners back to Boston?
Absolutely. Harold is incredible too. So I say that.
Cape
I say
Museum.
Cape Air Museum. Yeah. And even local people that haven't gone to Cape Air Museum, bananas.
Gloucester
What's
Stage
that?
Company.
Gloucester
Stage.
No, then I go. I'm talking about. You want me to? I'm talking serious here. I mean, I love Gloucester Stage, but I'm not saying it's top five. It's right there.
It's right there.
But it's not top five.
It's right there.
Well, if you're talking about a family coming into town, wanting to do
things,
you
want me to?
I have to.
Right.
I'm not. You're the one trying to stuff this on me. I'm trying to keep my credibility here.
Yes.
And not the. So I'm going to explain. So let me finish.
Okay.
Then Maritime Gloucester.
Right.
And then you can go, you have to go for a breakfast, some all the different breakfast, you know, right. pick a great yeah. breakfast place, coffee place,
yeah.
and then you go to go see a play.
Then that night you go see a play.
And then that night you go see.
See, the, you know, and the cool part about that list is like none of those people. Those are all great individual experiences that give you like the flavor of it. None of that's redundant. None right. of that, you know right. what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That you don't get. That you can't get
exactly.
In Topsfield,
exactly.
that you know, the, mm-hmm. and I, you know, God, I hate that I repeat myself all the time, but it bears repeating, like.
That's 51.
Huh? That's 51 being old. And, yeah. Well, probably the Alzheimer's, right? No, but I mean, we're so filthy with.
We have so
these cultural yeah. things.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's so outrageous.
Because
it's,
it comes ground up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of this stuff has been brought to Gloucester. This is right. all from Gloucester
yeah,
up.
True.
And that's the part that's the best about it. Yeah. You know?
So
yeah.
what type of so what things do you see that can be improved upon at that place?
I want to see more like actually just community classes. Make your own or. Mm. You know, come in and like we're gonna do a woman's dory build. You know, have them take a class to build a dory. You know, the working waterfront itself has it's been a great asset to us. It's been something, but we haven't really told the story as well as we can. We're hauling the Savannah Beale in the next couple of weeks.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Tell us about how did that come here?
Harold bought it from up in Maine.
How do you say the name?
Savannah Beale.
Savannah
Beale. W. Beale.
The schooner.
Yeah, the schooner. 80-foot, 17-beam. Knockabout schooner, 1911. The newest and oldest schooner in the harbor right now. He brought it down with a crew through some pretty decent weather. Quite a feat, and it was really nice to see him bring it on. It's sitting at the dock right now. We've been working on the railway since the remediation to get it ready to haul boats again.
So he bought it.
Yeah.
What are the future plans for it?
So he's going to haul it out for the winter. Get it out of the water, get it protected. We're going to use it as kind of an educational resource during that time. And then he'll bring it out to Essex and have it redone. He's going to get a National Historic Landmark status first, so he's going to be working on that. I'd say this is a three-year project.
Yeah, 3 years. It takes a couple of years.
Yeah.
So the nice thing about Harold Burnham, yeah. right, is his track record.
Yeah.
Right. So now all these, like you know, the Dunsky Foundation and all these. Generous people that make a lot of great stuff happen in our community. You're not placing a bet on a dreamer.
No.
Right.
This guy is.
He says he's gonna do it. It's done.
It's done. Give him cut the check.
Yeah.
Just cut the check because awesomeness is gonna happen.
You know,
right.
Just stand back and watch it because it's gonna be gorgeous.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. You can get behind and you know. Okay. Here's the other part about this. 80-foot boat. Okay, very important.
That's a manageable size, isn't it? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not a pipe dream to, like, this can be docked someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is not going to be a complete nightmare, like that it takes up so much. It can, most likely will be sustainable as far as the money to keep it maintained.
Yeah.
Because the insurances. Yeah. And the upkeep on these boats. When you have a monstrous boat that takes a monstrous crew, I mean, it's every year is people have dreams, but you have to have a plan.
Anything on the water is a challenge, right?
Believe me, I get it.
Right. But the thing about it is, Harold's going to do this build with the community. I mean, you could actually, if you're a community member, you can actually reach out to him. You could actually do work on this.
Yeah.
You know, he incorporates and folds it into the entire fabric of the community.
Yeah.
So anything we can do to help him with that, absolutely.
Oh, no that's
question.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
So I have one little question. What is a knockabout schooner as opposed to a pinky schooner? Or what is a knockabout?
So they've changed over time. That's a big question, so it won't take a bunch of time. But they've changed over time from tobacco boat to a pinky schooner, slightly smaller schooner, a little beamier, able to be handled well. As the
schooner started getting bigger, they needed to to make it simple, they put dories on the deck and started instead of handlining off the deck. So a pinion schooner was something that they would handline off the deck.
Okay.
And the knockabout schooner started getting bigger length, started going out further offshore, started bringing dories, that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
And it's a lot about the hull shape.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. He's a wealth
come
of
on,
knowledge.
Come on down to
America. He's a wealth of knowledge.
We that will explain it to you. That's right.
I'll tell you. The railway is going to be operational?
It is. Actually, we are the oldest continuing active railway in the United States. That railway. And second only by Gloucester Marine Railway across the way, Viking and such. But it's operational. Our teams at Zim Zimmerman has been working very hard to get a group of people together and put that thing back together. Part of the remediation was redoing the engine, redoing the switches. Got that all operational. We've been diving on it recently to make sure that it's all clear and ready. A lot of silt from last year's storm came up. And just buried it, so we've been cleaning that all out.
Brutal,
and a year later, we're still working on that. But getting it operational and getting this boat up on here is a huge, huge part for what we want to do. And then making this, like I said, that whole area, having that be a more interactive tour, something that the public can actually go behind the scenes and see how Marine Railway actually works, would be kind of cool.
So,
very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting.
It is exciting. There's always a big push, as long as I've been alive. When you come up, and Alicia will speak a little bit to this. But like you go in high school, and you grade school, high school, and the thing, and I was always told, you're going to college. Everybody's going to go to college, right? And so much emphasis on getting a college education. And a lot of kids go and they get like an English degree or an art degree, which is fine. It's wonderful to be a playwright and stuff like that. But we have fishermen, right? That need to get their engines worked on, diesel mechanics. These diesel mechanics charge, a lot of them, charge $200 or more to show up. Then they make like $150 an hour.
Yeah, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not just diesel mechanics. It's electricians, it's plumbers, it's all these trades. And like I wish there was more training and programs to get kids into stuff to work on boats.
And there is, actually. Because
there's so much opportunity to make a ton of money.
But a lot of the trade focus from the colleges on Cape Ann, I was just at our education roundtable a couple weeks ago, and they're really focusing on that again. Not every kid is ready for liberal arts education or something. Maybe a lot of them want to do. And that's the history of the work in waterfront that I'm talking about. You know, the fitting out, like, businesses that schooners would support for years and years, they got lost in here. You know, there was the mechanics, the different types of
well, the fish. It's in fairness, like we had a bazillion more boats.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot more fish. They're never going to allow in this port the amount of fish that was landed, even 10-15 years ago. They can't.
No.
They can't consciously allow that amount of product to go over the docks because it's not sustainable.
Right.
They know that now,
right.
And so. So all those workers went away because there wasn't enough work. But
there wasn't a transition.
Right, there was no transition.
Right.
But now it's like, there's the wane and ebb and flow. The pendulum has swung so far to not being any of these workers that there's a demand. It's just like the fish business, right? This wharf used to handle tens of millions of pounds a year, right? But they were like 10 cents, the fish, 15 cents, 21 cents a pound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all about selling a boat bringing in 800 pounds of fish, but getting $3 a pound for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's all value added, more quality work. So these craftsmen making big money on smaller projects, and there's,
it's very exciting to see. It really is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's just,
it's a new face of the
But this is
a new old face.
The Heritage Center. Maritime Gloucester is can be a conduit for to get to shepherd these kids into these type of programs.
And we want to just tell the story and get them to be
excited,
you know, excited about their own culture. We had a kid come through the other day that was great. We're up in the Schooner Gallery. We're doing our program, our regular science program. And all of a sudden he's looking up and, oh, my great-grandfather was on that vessel in the model that we had. The whole thing stops. Yeah. You got to start talking about that. You got to develop, you know, and we get that again and again, and it's just great.
Yeah.
Getting them back in touch. So many of the kids have not been near the water.
Yeah.
Near the water.
Yeah, yeah, no,
you
I
know?
Hear
And so, we've saved that section of that tract of land for future generations to be able to come and see what it was like. And be able to identify the sense of place.
It's great to have, and I'll tell you why. To me, it's great to have, and thankfully, the people that had the foresight to save it for that, because there's never going to be the amount of fish. We need to do other things with our waterfront. The whole waterfront can't be just for the fishing industry, because the fishing industry has been so condensed, and it's never. They can't allow it to be that huge. So to have this parcel, this very important parcel, the heritage, the Maritime Gloucester, to be forever be there,
right,
and to be supported financially and otherwise,
yeah,
is critical to our community. So thank you for coming.
Can you get that on a 30-second blurb? It's beautiful.
Bam,
transcribe that. Yeah. Make that for sure.
Joey C says.
We can make that sound clip.
There you go.
I know a girl.
So you talk about in finishing, open house deck the dock.
Yeah, we're gonna do a little deck the dock holiday celebration. We kind of have an open house to let people come in. We're gonna start it. Ladies' night I think is December 6th, Thursday. So that'll be kind of like the preview, and then that Saturday on the 8th, all day long, have people come in. We're gonna have local artists, local crafts people. We'll do our own, like, you can make your own ornament. You can bring the kids and do it in the ice house, which is about as cool as it gets, about as authentic as it gets.
Yeah.
And hot apple cider, and maybe even like a coffee cocoa thing.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have some fun with that. Get Santa and a dory, take some pictures with your kids and Santa and a dory.
We're going to put a link in the show notes for more information about that.
That's all good.
Someone's going to put a post.
This is that's a Good Morning Gloucester exclusive. That has not been said to anyone. There you go.
Love those.
Just for you,
yes,
Joey.
Love that.
I love those. Thank you. And thank you for being the voice on KBankCommunity.com. Is our conduit for the local nonprofits to post their events. Michael does the ones for.
Yeah, thanks for hosting that.
It's
such a good resource.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for coming.
Thanks so much.
All right. Well, that was fantastic. Marty Luster is with us. Oh, I didn't go around and introduce everybody, did I?
No, you didn't, but I didn't want to interrupt you. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. We're going to go around. Michael DeCosta, obviously, we just heard from. Marty Luster is here, who, fresh from you were laid up for a while, right?
I was.
All right. Marty's here. Alicia Cox is here. Her producer, B-Side, from the Alicia Unleashed show is with us this morning.
B-Side.
Heidi Dallin is with us.
That's right.
Kat Ryan is with us.
Hello.
She's hiding. She's hiding. There is some deep dark past. There is some deep dark past.
Witness
program. She's been relocated from the New York underground. I think it was her. The big museum heist. I think it was you. We found him. Wow. That is a huge reward. I think it's millions. We can get in the reward. We can turn her in.
You got a mirror hanging with the boys behind the boys' closet.
Tell me, I'll split the money with you for the reward. Just let me turn you in. Kim Smith is with me as well.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And did I thank you enough for organizing all this stuff?
Yes, you did.
And thank you for my gifts. That was very nice of you. Marty.
Yes, sir.
You had a stupid human trick, I think, went wrong. Is that what it was? Is that how you described it?
That's pretty close, yeah.
So what happened? You were on a moped?
August 5th. I decided that as a 76-year-old man, it would be a good idea to try out an electric bicycle.
Oh, like Paul Morrison has.
Yeah, that's That was his fault.
Well, he turned you onto it?
He did. And it's something I've had in the back of my mind for a long time. And so I bought a bike from a place in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. They shipped it out. And they didn't tell me that it had to be assembled, or at least partially assembled. And I am not a good assembler, but my wife is. So it's also her fault, because when I couldn't get the damn handlebars on, she managed to do it. And it's a fairly complex arrangement, the way we're working. It's a heavy bike, it's 50 yeah. pounds. And I decided on, I kept putting it off, and then finally I said, well, I've got to give this thing a trial run. And it's got pedals and a motor. And I think, well, I'll just pedal around for a while and you know, get a feel for it. So up on my driveway, which is a fairly large expanse,
and it's kind
well,
of a hill in it.
There's a hill
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Barbara warned me to avoid the hill and to only stay at the top portion. So I wheeled the bike out and got on it and tried to ride it and realized that it was heavier than I expected and more unwieldy than I expected. So I got off, but never one to take a warning. I figured, well, let's try this again. We'll get it this time. And I got on the bike and I tried pedaling it, and then I realized that I had, not intentionally, flipped the gear shift lever into a high gear.
Oh, so
I couldn't pedal.
Oh.
And I just kind of started wobbling down the hill a little bit.
Oh.
And then the bike decided it had had enough and started going over, and I went with it. I was actually thrown from the bike onto the driveway. And had probably the most pain I've ever had. And it was, Barbara kind of picked up the pieces and shoved me into the car and took me to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
Through x-rays later, it was determined that I had 3 fractures of the pelvis.
Oh my gosh.
I never knew I had a pelvis.
Right. The screws? To get metal screws
no,
in?
No, they don't do anything. Unless it's displaced.
Right, right. Fractures.
They don't do anything. But it took 12 weeks to heal. And much of that was in a walker and in a cane. And it was unpleasant. But it's good to know that even at my age, there are lessons to be learned.
But Marty, how's the bike?
The bike went back to Saskatchewan even while I was unable to move. And that's a whole story. Try to ship a 50-pound bike.
Is it painful to walk now, or is it?
I still have back pain. And I had back pain. I had bad back before that, so it's hard for me to tell where one starts and where it begins. The ends. But by and large, I'm recovered. The only thing that we've always known that I was unbalanced, but my balance still sucks.
Jesus.
I've been doing physical therapy for the balance more than anything.
God almighty. That's
perfectly good.
Well, we're glad to have you back. We were missing your, you know, you were kind of off the grid for a little bit.
Yeah, I was. We're working back into it now, so.
Wow. Well, thank you.
I'm glad. Get rid of me, ladies.
Glad you're doing all right. B-side.
What's up?
I had no idea that you were a cornhole aficionado. Ranked Massachusetts ranked 74th ranked cornhole player.
That's incredible.
Had to do something
out of 500.
Had to do something in my hiatus.
Well, Alicia abandoned you
a little bit.
But I have witnessed these cornhole tournaments at Mile Marker for Bluefin Blowout. No. You don't understand.
No, I've never seen
the dudes, they got like, they're wearing the sweatbands around their forearms. They got the gear. Have you ever seen the movie with Bill Murray, The Kingpin?
Oh, yeah.
Kingpin?
Yeah. Oh, Woody Harrelson and Bill Murray. Yeah,
with all the swag. You know, like, these guys are like.
They do.
There is a cornhole subculture, if you will.
I have my own bags.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Right. Waited. Yeah.
She came up to Salisbury, and I went to one of the tournaments. She was playing right down the street. Yeah. So I got to witness. I'm like, this is nerd.
Where did they play? Did they play on the beach in Salisbury?
They do, but I joined late. So what happened was I went through a breakup, and my friend was like, hey, do you want to play? I hear you play cornhole. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty good. And, you know, just in someone's backyard. And then I went to Mile Marker and was like, there's a fucking league? Oh, my God.
Oh, so you saw it? You saw the league part?
So I didn't know about the one that they did during Bluefin.
Yeah.
But I went to the one right after Bluefin. And then
you saw how intense it was.
Boards, and I was like, what did you get me into?
Yeah.
And so we played poorly, but we had a great time. And then she found out that they do it every Tuesday night in Rowley. And so we started showing up in Rowley, and then we started getting invited to all of these tournaments on weekends. Yeah. So
They travel. Yeah, so wait, so I just want to say this. So I had, so when they announced the Bluefin Blowout and they go through all the different, you know, because they try to make it family friendly, right, all these different events, they have to fill the day. Yeah. And cornhole competition. I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird, whatever. But I'm there with my daughters, and we got so, as spectators, we didn't do it. We were spectators, and we picked out our, you know, who we thought we were going to win, and we followed them through the progression of the tournament. We were so into it. I would like to see legalized betting on cornhole, because that would be the ultimate for me. Just sit back with a beer and like bet on.
And you know what though, we do that on Tuesday nights where we're like, what happens is it's called blind draw, where you get paired up with someone. Like, you don't go in with your friend and you're their partner. Oh. Like, you get paired up with someone random too. So like, what happens is throughout the night you're like, oh, this team, they're going against them. Oh, that team's totally taking it. And they could just, like, pile drive that team and, like, erase them from the entire bracket. And it's, like, every week it's a complete.
Like, you were partnered with someone that was top in the state that you didn't even know about. Like, there's just blind draw. So she's, like, so she's been partnered, you know, that way, too. So.
If I was a single person. I'm gonna tell you right now. I would be just like one of these cornhole freaks with all the gear and the sweatbands and all the stuff. I would be all in. I would be all in. I'm telling you.
Single person's game? Is that what you're saying?
Huh?
It's a singles person game? Is that what you're saying?
Well, being a married person with children, you don't necessarily have time to like be an elite cornhole player.
Some of them do it, and it is a single. I've realized it is a single person's game. And as a single person, it's kind of tricky even for me, because some of these people are like, hey, do you want to go to Hudson? I'm like, no, that's far. I don't. Like, even Salisbury is a little taxing, because what happens is, if I get paired up with a good player and I'm on point that night, we could be there until midnight. And I'm like, that's an hour drive back to Gloucester. Yeah. Like, because some of them, they all live in Haverhill, so they're like, just, they get to go right back home. And I'm like,
your corporate sponsors want to put you on.
But yeah, I mean, I've met so many of them. Like, one of them is like third in the state out of 500 people. So I'm 74 out of 500 in the state. Right.
That's
now.
Impressive.
That's great.
Do you practice?
Not as much because it's cold out. But my friends and I have been known to go to Stageport in Good Harbor and start throwing the bags.
Throwing the bags.
When you play with somebody who's like third in the state or whatever, do you learn? Is that like a good way to learn?
So when I first started, like, they were just like, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing. And I knew that going in, and I knew that they were just like, oh, she's.
I got stuck with her.
I got stuck with her. And all the time too, I go up to them, I'm like, hi, I suck. I'm apologizing in advance. Hi. But now I know how to toss the, like, I know how to do the spins, I know how to barrel roll, they teach me and everything like
love
that.
It.
So
I
yeah.
Love it.
It's a crazy awesome. Thing because I'm just like, and now when people hand me a bag, I'm like, this thing is so flimsy. Like, I'm such a snob about
the weight in your bag.
When I was out in San Francisco, my best friend was like, yeah, we're gonna go to this bar, they have cornhole there, and I was like, are the bags like ACL certified? Because I can't.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I love it.
Such a snob. Yeah, I was like, cheetah, like, is the board going to be slide right? Like, I need to know.
Kim's daughter got married. Did one of the most beautiful weddings I've ever been to. The most gorgeous wedding out on in Annisquam. Mm-hmm. I'm so sad because I really liked her. I have more of a bond with your ex-son-in-law than, you know, I love your daughter, but your ex-son-in-law, like, I had a kinship with him, even though I didn't know him. I have an online, he's probably like one of my third or fourth online BFFs. Yeah. Not because I talk to him regularly, but he's just like, he's a tremendous artist. He creates ads, right, for right. Volvo and stuff like that.
Right, and he just moved to a new agency in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But, and one of his accounts is Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but he's very creative, and we have a lot. He's a good guy. Anyway,
I really like Matt too.
So to get back to where we were going with this, they had these special cornhole boards made up for their wedding day.
Yeah.
So that the people were playing.
Those are really pricey too. And my whole thing was I wanted to learn how to do this. Just so when I go to people's barbecues next year, and they're like, "Oh, let's play cornhole," I'm like, "Oh, how do I play?"
And
so
take a for my
everybody.
Sandbag them.
Totally shark everybody.
Literally sandbag.
But now that I keep talking about it, I'm like, "Yeah, everyone's gonna know I'm a shark."
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Because when one night I was going to Good Harbor with a friend of mine, and this guy tried to mansplain on the board on the beach. He was like, "Oh, you gotta throw it like this. You gotta grab it." I'm like, "Yeah, we're in a league." Yeah, we know.
Shut him down.
Yeah,
shut him down. Mansplaining makes another podcast reference. Every week we talk about mansplaining. I love it.
It's rampant.
Huh?
It's rampant.
It's rampant.
It is rampant.
It's been rampant for a long time.
Mansplaining is real. Mansplaining is real. So that's fantastic. Pat Dalpiaz, her debut volunteering at Gloucester Stage.
She's been there.
The sixth best place, sixth best thing to do in Gloucester.
Pat is very comfortable at the concessions.
Did you check the level? Did you make a line in the bottles before you let her to her devices?
We trust her.
You're crazy. You're a crazy person. She's an Irish woman with a great. No, she's wonderful.
She's very.
I would mark the bottles.
She's done a great job. She's been running the concessions on her own. We just said her. She knows how to make the coffee. She knows how to pour the wine. And there you go.
I bet she does.
Knows how to work the. They also we have the square for the concessions, so you have to learn how to input.
Oh, square,
square. You have to learn how to do that too. So that's the.
It's probably easy for regular people, not people like that don't embrace like the technology.
Yeah, I don't. Anybody can learn.
She's a techie person. She's a blogger. She embraces
it's good.
It.
It's great to walk into the theater and see her there. And,
she's awesome.
And it's good. And the Simon Geller show closes today, actually. So
that's been really well received, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So many people in the community say how much they loved it.
Yeah.
You have David Sedaris coming December 1st for the Santa Land Diaries.
Yes, David Sedaris, the Santa Land Diaries. Super funny. We always do a Christmas event, kind of a fundraiser. We'll have a little reception, some food and drink, and a special one-time-only show. And this is Santa Land Diaries, David Sedaris. And it's going to star Stephen Barkheimer, who was in a lot of really great... We did the Eightborn trilogy, which were three comedies, 3 years in a row, starring Lindsay Krause. And Stephen Barkheimer, he's super funny. He was also in The Woman in Black, and our audiences really love him. So it's a one-man show. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with Christmas and department store Santas and...
Ooh, Bad Santa style.
Things like
bad
that.
Bad Santa style.
So
you might get me interested in that.
So it's really... And our directing apprentice, Scott Karen, is directing.
Can I ask you one question? Spoiler? And you can tell me no if you don't want to reveal this, but is there alcohol, you know, Santa with a drinking problem?
No, that'll be the audience because we'll be serving alcohol at that point.
With Pat over serving.
I think we're already. I've already lined up Pat to do concessions for Holiday Delights, and when she saw the David Sedaris piece coming, she was like, "That's great."
Who are some of the big up and coming kids in the program?
In the program, Megan Gallo, of course, who is one of the stars of my station in life.
and she'll be in Holiday Delights. Anya Lichtenwald, who is the daughter of two teachers at Gloucester High School, Jessica Lichtenwald and Kurt Lichtenwald, Coach L, who send our prayers to Coach L.
Yeah.
He's doing very well. So, and some of my, I have a lot of really great.
Who's gonna be the, who's gonna be the young one that steals the show? Because there's always one super
who's
young
the
one
next
that.
Talia DeWolf.
The next
no,
Talia DeWolf.
No, no, no. The next
there?
Ruby McElhenney. Ruby McElhenney,
yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Just tore the force. Stole the show.
Yeah, but see, you didn't see Talia's first show.
But that was
Talia
okay,
was.
She was great.
Talia was. She was right there from
well,
the
Talia
very
always,
beginning.
But yeah. Like you expect, she's such a huge personality to begin with that you just expect that.
Oh,
out of her.
You mean like
I'm talking
quiet
about
one
this
one
little
just,
mousy
yeah,
girl
yeah,
that came out of
yeah.
nowhere and just
yeah, Ruby was
demolished.
Yeah.
Like just
yeah.
left everybody. Oh my God! Can you believe that's Ruby McElhenney?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
crazy.
Gonna, Ruby's in the show. The
is
show.
She still
we
there?
Have little Scarlett Lee, you know Scarlett Lee, Dan Lee, and Janet Powers' daughter, and their little son Calvin Lee.
Do you have any third generation people?
Third generation? Do you mean? Well, I have my three siblings, the McGees, which started out with Zach McGee, who's now in college. And then his sister Anita joined. And then their little brother Gabe, who was, I think, born the first year we did Holiday Delight.
Gabe was in, what was he in?
He was Dill in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right, right. Did he, oh, there's a guy.
And
there you go, there's an example. There's a little guy came out and crushed it.
Yeah.
Love that.
And Gabe used to, this was, you know, in the beginning, you know, like the second Holiday Delights, and we had the crew, the McGees and the Turners were in it, mm-hmm. and the Armstrongs and the Grays
awesome.
And the Donalds
very
and
cool.
Brianna Ward, and they all carpooled together. They all lived near each other. And so everybody would get out of the car when Martha McGee would drop off, except for little Gabe, because he was 4 years old. And he was, why can't I do? And so she came to me. She goes, you know, he's a little young, but could we try it? He's really so upset, and he really wants to do it. And I said, sure, Gabe's adorable. And he was so sweet. And he's been in the show ever since. Now he's in middle school.
Oh,
he made his professional debut at the theater. Zach McGee also, his older brother, made his professional debut at the theater as well in The Most Happy Fella that we did
go.
A few years ago. It was Zach and Mark Turner
awesome.
And Tess Burnham.
Okay. Beautiful.
And, so, yeah, we have...
Awesome.
And the Turners are coming back again this year to do crew for
God bless them.
I love Talia, but she has her exam.
She's got her exam. I'm going to put a link to the David Sedaris thing. I'm going to go to the website and put a link to it. Is it there? Is
cool.
there anything?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I want to mention... there's a wine dinner on November 7th at Feather and Wedge. Feather and Wedge is doing dollar oysters every day from 5 to 6 and at their Sunday jazz brunch. Tano starting on the 1st. November 1st is starting their Thursday Bar Bites thing with the cheap Bar Bites. And they're doing Tuesday night dollar oysters. Minglewood is doing on Mondays, buy two sushi rolls, get the third one for free. 43-cent wings and stump trivia on Tuesday nights. Burger, six special burgers for $10 each on Thursday nights. So check that out.
I have a question for you.
Go.
Have you gone for your birthday dinner and dessert at Serenity for your rewards card?
I have not. Yet, but that's going to happen.
You better go. You only have a little
couple days.
I went this week. I took my mom for her birthday dinner, and they're doing bread pudding every week.
So what she's speaking about is if you have the Serenity Rewards card, which we talk about all the time. Just about every month, they put free stuff on your card. It's insane not to have it. If you don't like money, don't get the Serenity
Rewards card.
But your
birthday, like, here's $10.
But your birthday,
here's $10.
Best.
Come spend it.
Yeah.
But your birthday, an entree for free.
You know what?
And a dessert.
My Serenity and a dessert. Card on my birthday, and I went to Serenity for my birthday.
Whoops.
Whoops.
That's all right. He paid for it. Whatever.
And he's now to the left, right?
Yeah.
You swipe to the left.
Whatever. But yeah, it was a Nutella bread pudding. It was a special dessert. Ooh. It had just come out of the oven. It wasn't on the menu yet.
Love it.
And I heard somebody talking about it. I'm like, we want the bread pudding for dessert. They're going to do a new bread. It was delicious.
Kim, do you know what I'm dying to see?
I know what you're dying to see.
What am I dying to see?
You're dying to see that little bit of footage that I got of the rusty blackbird.
30-second clip.
A 30-second clip.
Very rare.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
Well,
tell me what it is.
It's a beautiful little blackbird. It's very small, and its population has plummeted 80 to 99%.
I bet you it's those nasty GMOs.
No, but it's
Monsanto.
It's part of what's going on with climate change, and you know, like so many species, the whole world, it's loss of habitat and climate change, which is probably the major reason why it's in decline. But it was beautiful, and I was standing at Niles Pond filming another wild creature, and it just hopped right there down at my feet, and I was just like,
he knew you were there.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my god.
What a find.
Yeah, so I just turned my camera on him, and he just there for a couple of seconds, and then off he flew. And I was like, what if I didn't have my camera? Nobody would believe me that I'd seen it. It's like when the Wilson's plovers came to Gloucester this summer. Nobody would have believed me about that.
You got the footage. We're going to link to it in the show notes.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Wow.
This week, this window here
was
witness to about 5 or 6 birds that slammed right into it. Little birdies. And the reason why, I think, because there were all kind of weird birds that I'd never really seen before. We had that really cold snap, and I think they were just all kind of confused and like trying to like get someplace warm.
Yeah.
Or they saw the light, it was in
them. Like the wind is blowing from all different directions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
a bunch of birds just smashed. It was hilarious. Just spam.
And then what happened? Were they stunned? Did they lie down on the ground? Or?
But it was, so one, like they stunned, it fell, but then it kind of got up, and then it like kind of, see the overhead door right there? Right. Kind of perched itself on there. And then it just fucking wham, right back into the window again, like they didn't learn.
Did you,
it's awesome.
Did you take a picture of it?
I tried to, but every time, so it's like, there's like a couple minutes in between each slam.
Yeah.
So you're like, you see it, you're like, oh, I'll get my camera out and try to capture this.
Right.
So then you turn around because like, oh, it went away. And you know, you're doing something over here, and then bam, you're like, oh, get your camera. Like, oh, I missed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gee, that's sad.
I know. You what we really should have done was you should have put police tape around the whole business and shut it down for the day and try to make it so that the bird didn't slam into the
window.
You could
just open the window and let it come in. Because
on your shoulder.
No, because then what could happen is I could unsuspectfully slam into and eat my eye or do something bad.
Was it the same bird?
I think it was, yeah.
Was it just like, damn, would this guy get his camera out?
I know, I'm like, I'm trying to give him some good footage here.
you know
me and animals. I always have a thing in my head that all animals want to eat me or kill me or destroy me. Somewhere.
You don't know how many birds are lost to flying into windows and glass.
I know, they should outlaw glass.
Yeah.
No. They should outlaw glass.
Well,
yeah, it's terrible how many birds die.
Don't you put a little design on something?
Yes, people just put stickers on the glass or something like that.
Like a bullseye?
I could put little hearts. Bullseye. Bullseye sticker.
Was that
transparent bullseye sticker.
Was that door open?
And we could do a game with points for wherever that blood splat is on the bullseye.
I'm just totally not.
In the middle is 100.
I'm totally not hearing that.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Was that door open? Was that door open out there?
All the doors are open. We're working, so.
Oh, I'm sad for the little bird.
I know.
Now you ruined
terrible.
Kim's day, Joey. I don't know.
It's terrible.
But sometimes I think it's nature's, you know, it's just nature's
Darwin
calling.
Award.
Yeah, it's definitely Darwin just helping out.
Helping out. Yeah, maybe it became food for a wayward rat.
No, that's not. That's not.
We don't have
rats.
That's not Darwinian. Darwinian is, you know, survival of the fittest, but not when you, have
a dumb bird that flies at the windows.
No, not when you have like elements, man-made elements like that.
Evil people. Evil humans.
No, it's not evil. It's just learning.
Evil humans placed the glass plate for the birds to die.
It's evil humans. How to live with wildlife.
So you have levels of evil. Evil human, evil male, evil white male. Evil right white rich male. That's the apex of evil. All white men.
See, we're not getting political.
I know. But we are characterized. Yeah. I'm an evil person by nature of being a white man.
Middle-aged
man.
Middle-aged
I'm
white
an evil person.
Could be Halloween, you know, the birds, Alfred Hitchcock coming for you, Joe.
The crows at the house.
Did you see my? Did you see the horse thing I posted with the horse, kicking all the humans in the head?
You know what? I didn't. I saw the caption, and I meant to look at it, but then I got distracted, so I didn't see it.
The caption was, when your kid asks you to buy you a horse. Right. Yeah, so go find that. It was all different clips of horses just absolutely taking humans out.
See, I figured it was something like that, but then I got distracted, so I didn't look at it.
Something sparkly. Something sparkly got you. Easton Point Lit House, Little Women, is the Duckworth's Book Club event on November 18th.
Yes.
I didn't know. I thought that the Lit House was defunct.
The Lit House is no longer on, you know, they no longer have their physical space on East Main Street, but it's still going strong. And Chris is still doing book editing and things like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's still going strong. And we still have our, you know, book club events, which are wonderful. The last one was George Orwell's 1984.
Very apropos.
In the worst possible way. Mm. So, But it was very lively discussion, and then this month it's something much lighter, Little Women, which I'm really anticipating. Wonderful. I haven't read it since, I read it 100 times when I was a kid, but I haven't read it as an adult yet. So.
Open Door Autumn Breakfast. You went and covered that, didn't you?
Yeah, I went and covered it. It was just amazing. It's the 40th year, which I didn't really realize.
Who were the award winners? Because there was, there's always people. Was Warren one of them?
No, but he did get a thing on the program that said our like cream of the crop supporter. But Sherry Zizak won for Unsung Hero Award, and it was wonderful because she was accepting her award, and then just spontaneously everybody stood up. And was cheering, and it was just really, it was very special.
I love her as a person.
Yeah.
She's been a big supporter of ours.
Much for the community.
I tell you.
Right. And it really, she truly is unsung. I mean,
she does so much stuff without any fanfare.
Right.
Michael, you probably, there's a lot of people that support the Gloucester Maritime.
Yeah.
And so you see it firsthand, like a lot of these people are just don't even want their names attached to it. I would want my name attached to it.
It's amazing.
I want like flashing lights toward my name. No, I'm joking.
And it's not like because I don't want other people to ask or anything like this. It's just because they just want you to do good work and help the community. You know what I mean? It's really fantastic. You know, Sherry was part of our docs and integral part of it. And fantastic, and you know, getting her just to come to, a photo op to show the handing over the check was like, you know, okay, I'll do it. But she didn't need to, to do it. She's fantastic.
She's a
huge asset. All these things that come, you know, that you know, so many of them, people fight tooth and nail to not make them happen, and they come and they're such supporters of our community, and just like enough. Enough with these people, you know.
I mean, it's a whole hospitality group that, you know, it's all the things they do, not just at Cruiseport, but at Beaufort, too.
Beaufort, all over. High school, they paid for the fields to get redone at the field. The list goes on and on.
Is that for them getting redone, is that because of the storm last year?
No, it was
I don't think they paid for the most recent one.
But
field naming rights, right?
Right.
No, I don't know. It was like before they were even doing the hotel that it was like $500,000 or something. It's a huge number.
But also they have their annual food drive. I think I gave you the date. Is it November 18th? It's their Thanksgiving food drive from like 9 to 3, and you can. I put a list on the post that I did about the autumn breakfast that says what the items that they need most, like, of course, not fresh fruit and stuff like that, but healthy snacks,
peanut butter,
canned tuna, pasta, anything super healthy that's dry and, you know, not instantly perishable. Juice boxes, you know, 100% juice, not fake juice. So that's November 18th.
How about Red Bull? Do I like Red Bulls?
No,
not joking. No,
nasty.
Of course not. It's nasty.
Nasty stuff.
Alicia.
Yes.
Tell me about atasteforliving.com, our friend.
Yes, Jessica Brand Alves. You probably know her as the creator of Dinner Dealer that she had a few years ago, which was still, I think, the most amazing idea ever. But
and her really cute kids too, right?
Yes. Yeah, she had to leave to go have a kid, and so it was just a big project. So anyway, so her new venture is atasteforliving.com. She also has a Facebook page, and really, and she's probably one of the most creative and talented people I know.
Very passionate.
Oh my God, very, yes. So what she wants to do is she wants to create different ways of entertaining at your house without, you know, basically, you know, you don't have to have, your house does not have to be perfect all the time. You can have friends and entertain and still be creative and, you know, not have these five-star dinners, you know. So that's kind of what her, you know, her site's about. But so on Facebook, A Taste for Living, she actually has the Waffle Project, and every Wednesday she goes live, and she has a half an hour show of what you can make in a waffle maker. And it doesn't have to be a waffle. You know, last week she did quesadillas. I was on twice with her. We did apple cider donuts, which they were the freaking most amazing things
gosh.
I've ever had in my life.
Is the recipe on there?
Yes. So she has atasteforliving.com, and you go to the Waffle Project, and every single recipe that she's done so far is on there. She's, yeah, so... We wanted to, I think I'm going to go back like in March. She's booked up until about March with different guests every week.
Oh, I got to get in the list.
Yeah.
I got to get in the queue because I will actually be able to do it when my slow time comes
right.
in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah. So just really cool. So yeah, she's just super creative and graphic designer first by trade. So everything she does is just beautiful.
Yeah, we love her.
She should come on the show again.
Yeah, we'll have her on.
Yeah.
She's one of these people like Heidi that always has an open invitation. And Michael, he's proved himself as a worthy guest, he has an value added to the podcast.
Not over yet.
There's a chance to mess it all up. He could try to spike me in my ankle on the way out like Manny Machado, and then we will forever. He would be dead to us. There you go. I brined my first turkey yesterday,
okay.
and I'm going to smoke it this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Wish me luck.
Are we still doing our Thanksgiving podcast next?
GMG Giving is next Sunday, right?
Okay.
Isn't it next Sunday? Is that what we're talking
about?
Yeah,
GMG Giving.
Yeah, next Sunday, GMG Giving.
Everybody's invited, too.
Oh, wow. No, shh. No, everybody.
I mean, everybody.
You have all
room.
Those.
Everybody in this room.
Well, everybody in this room is invited. The people we know who we don't want having the freeloaders. All the art show freeloaders.
If anybody's hungry, please come.
If you ever came to one of our show openings on Rocky Neck and passed by all of us on the way to the food at the back of the gallery and drank our wine and ate our food and never bought anything or never said hello or I like your work on the walls, then you're not invited.
Yes, but anybody who's hungry,
let's be clear.
Please come if you're hungry and you want to say hello.
So
what is she trying to make this the next GMG Christmas party or what?
Yeah, no, we can't. We don't want it to be a shit show.
I know, it's not going to be. It's not.
I want it to be intimate. And not in a sexual kind of way. Is that okay?
Yes, that's good.
Okay.
I'm glad you found your way here,
intimate
Michael. It's great.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone
Sunday.
In this room is officially
Sunday,
invited.
Yeah.
But no freeloaders.
Yeah.
And everybody has to bring
no one knew the
if you come, yeah, it's a pot, it's potluck, too.
Yeah, if you come, you have to
potluck.
Bring something.
Can
yeah.
I bring wine?
Usually
my thing.
Can I bring a frozen turkey for you to fry?
I've never fried a turkey, but I'm going to smoke one.
You're going to smoke one. So how did it
come? Oh, want to hear my brine? Want to hear what
yeah.
I've heard my brine?
Yeah.
Have you brined a turkey?
No.
Interesting.
No. I'm not really into brining.
No, I know.
I would have lost a lot of money guessing that if I had to guess if you had ever brined a turkey or not, I would have lost a lot of money on that.
Yeah.
So here was my brine.
Okay.
I used... I had a, you know those Omaha steaks, they ship meat in the big, the super thick styrofoam containers?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
So I was kind of nervous because I didn't have a big container to brine my turkey in.
Right.
But I have, for the wharf, for our restaurants, I have these 3 millimeter thick, heavy-duty plastic bags. So I doubled up these, and they're gusseted, so they it's a perfect shape. Put that inside the big, thick styrofoam thing. Put the turkey, I took the I didn't realize this is my first experience. I've never cooked a turkey. But
you didn't know
I,
you had to take all the guts out?
I had
out.
To take the shit out of the bird, the neck and everything.
Wait,
yeah,
that's all right. You never done that before?
I'm not a real cook. I'm a griller. And this is my first turkey that I've ever grilled.
It's his first turkey.
This is blowing my mind. Did you make sure that
you got I'm a guy. I don't do turkey. I don't cook. What?
Did you make sure you got it all? The first one I ever did, I was like, wait a minute. There's no gizzard. Where's the gizzard? And it was like way up there.
It's in
there. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I better double check.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you better check on the gizzard?
What?
Yeah, gotcha.
The inside?
No, I know. I got the neck, but I...
The insides, not gizzards. Just the neck. The insides.
Yeah.
You gotta get
gizzards.
I gotta
get
the
there,
gizzards.
Man.
So,
all right, I'm gonna look. I'm gonna double check.
You know, like one of these.
Listen.
Yeah, go right up inside the ghoul.
Listen.
Right inside the ghoul.
At both ends.
Yeah.
The neck is in the big cavity,
yeah,
but you have to lift
yeah.
the flap
oh, yeah.
up at the rear end and pull the
gizzards. Oh, trust me. As soon as I go home, I'm gonna pull the gizzards.
There's a bag
yeah.
of stuff in there.
Okay. Oh, there's a bag? It's in a bag?
Sometimes it's in a bag.
Hopefully, your brine's done.
Yeah.
No, I'll be. I'm in good shape. So
don't come next week.
So this is why I did my first one.
This is his practice one.
So
oh, great.
So I put the turkey in the bag. I left it like an inch from the turkey sticking out. I put in 3/4 of a cup of brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of coarse salt, 2 tablespoons of black pepper, a little bit more than 2 tablespoons of each. 2 tablespoons of granulated garlic, and some pineapple soda, a cup of pineapple
oh.
soda.
Mm-hmm.
I overnight did it yesterday morning, and I this morning before work I took it out and I laid it on a cooking tray with the, you know, the wire rack, so it can, so in the fridge for the day, so it'll dry off a little bit, because I'm going for crispy skin.
Ooh,
I don't
awesome.
Want mushy
yeah.
skin.
Yeah.
I'm going to go high heat, skin. High heat indirect.
So when are you doing that?
This afternoon.
So how long will it take?
About 2.5 to
that's
3
it?
Hours. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, how many pounds
high heat.
Did you get?
Huh? 13 pounds.
Okay, so that's a
it
that's
might be
good.
3 pounds.
That's a good size.
Yeah, that's a good size. Well,
that's a great
can't
size.
Wait to see how that
well, I was looking for a 10-pounder. To
that's
be honest with you,
small, probably.
But they say that when you go really big, they tend to be dry
yeah.
because
yeah.
you have to cook them so long,
cook so long
yeah. that they yeah. tend to dry out.
Yeah.
I've been personally scarred by my mother's turkeys.
I've never made a bad turkey, so I don't know what this.
Well, it's because you're young.
She takes a
older folks grew up with standards from the government saying that you need to bring your meat to certain temperatures that were always like pork. And chicken,
right.
like they told you, you needed to bring them to outrageous numbers, which made the shit unedible.
Dry the shit
up. Inedible.
Yeah.
Especially pork and poultry.
Pork and poultry,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And now we found out that you don't need to have it.
Right.
This. Anyway, so I'm gonna smoke it offset with some peach wood, and I am going to bring it to 165 degrees internal in the breast.
Wow.
I think it's going
to
be fantastic.
Oh, wow.
We'll see.
I'm excited
to what should I? What
so
should I? Okay, give me a. Okay, I'm gonna ask you guys. What should I put on the outside of the turkey before I put it in? Before I cook it.
For basting. You're talking about basting.
You just put it in without anything, no rub on it or anything.
When I make a turkey,
just,
I just I rub it all
no
over.
No butter, no olive oil on
when
the skin.
I,
no.
Oh,
no.
I do.
No.
Really?
SPG.
What do you do?
When I roast a turkey, I rub butter and my first round is olive oil and salt and pepper and have that all over and then I cook it in a couple inches of water so that I have
water?
Lots of gravy
in the water or above the water
no in the water trust me it works it's very tender and delicious and then throughout I baste it with butter because I like to I
I actually quadruple my gravy recipe, and so I need a lot of fat and broth in the pan for the recipe. But it's very crispy on the outside, and crispy and buttery. And
so I read somewhere. I've done an intense amount of YouTube research on how to cook a turkey on a Weber grill, and barbecue forums. A lot of people said, so you know, in relation to not having a dried out turkey, everybody said bring it to 165. But the second thing that they said was, if you put all your stuffing up there, that increases the cook time, and that will lead to a dry turkey as well.
I would never put my stuffing in the cavity. Ever.
Well, people used to do that.
Moisture out.
Yeah.
Very old school way.
Very old school way.
And also, it's you can
die.
A lot of bacteria.
Trichinosis.
Yeah, if you don't get the gizzards out, and then you put that stuff in.
Right.
But you know what? You know how to make
your shitting your pants out.
This is how you make
1 o'clock this morning. The Red Sox game's got to be over, and everybody's gonna be running for the toilet.
this is how you make your stuffing taste like turkey, though. So you have your pan of stuffing, right? You take one of the turkey basters and squirt some of that buttery liquid all over it while it's baking, so it gets nice and crispy on top, and then very moist and tender on the inside with the flavor of the baking turkey.
Mm.
So
yeah.
So I make my stuffing in the morning.
You put water. You don't put chicken stock in your liquid in the pan.
No, because it makes the stock with
the what flows out.
Right, what flows out, and also I put a couple onions and celery and a few vegetables.
Do you put oranges?
No.
Do you put onion?
Onions.
Yeah.
Couple big onions in
people
there.
People say onions.
Quartered.
Apples. Some people say apples.
Yeah, I don't put apples in. Nope. No.
How about you? What do you put inside yours? Anything?
The inside the cavity?
Yeah.
I do fresh rosemary, fresh thyme, fresh garlic.
Inside.
Yeah. And a crap load of garlic cloves, whole cloves, and salt, pepper, garlic. You always want to make sure that you season the inside too. You season the inside just like you do the outside.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then my onions actually sit on the outside.
Yeah, I'm confused. So I put my onions on the outside.
Yeah, you do a lot of onions on the
outside. Not in the cavity?
Yep, for the flavor.
Nothing in the cavity.
Yeah.
It's a germ.
Oh, not in the
cavity. We do water in the turkey, but at the very end to make the gravy.
Yeah.
So we do it at the very end.
You do it at the very end.
Yeah.
See, when you cook it the whole time with a little bit of water, you never run the risk of it drying out or...
Right.
Because my oven isn't that stable, like the temperature fluctuates, so... Mm.
I live and die by my Pampered Chef thermometer that you put it right inside, anything you're baking in the oven, and the wire comes up and you have the... So you can't... It's just
can't.
Foolproof.
Foolproof. I have a remote... I have a remote... digital thermometer for my grill.
I need to look in. We need to look in.
I'm gonna give you the brand of a commercial grade one that every couple months they go on sale, and there's something that you'll have for the rest of your life. And instead of buying a bunch of like junky ones, you buy this one, have it for the rest of your life, and you will never regret the purchase.
You should just do
It's about 75 degrees. I have done it in the past on northeastbarbecue.com, my barbecue site. Pimp. Pimp daddy.
Very nice.
Pimp fucking daddy right there. That's how you pimp
shit. You should just do like
what was
a Christmas. This should be your kitchen Christmas wish list. Like, add these to your list. Joey approved.
I have to the top of northeastbarbecue.com is barbecue essential gear.
And you inspired me to take out my salt block, so I have bought a Himalayan Himalayan salt block.
The salt block.
Did you do the salt? Did you do the scallops on it?
I did scallops
and
shrimp. That was I had it for a couple of years. Haven't touched it. He inspired me because we now have a charcoal Weber. Peter smokes every single weekend. So
and isn't it great?
Yeah,
it's a great thing for anyone. The reason that there's many reasons I love grilling, but one of the main reasons is with a monotonous job. See, your job, you can be creative.
Yeah, do stuff.
Right, you do stuff. You meet people. You're pushing initiatives. Yeah. Right, it's fantastic. Right, when you have a job that is doing the same thing every day that you've done for 40 plus years. You need a creative outlet. And then you have a family, right? And then you have responsibilities with the family. And then I have 100 fishermen that I need to answer to. I have my family that I need to answer to. So I have a bunch of bosses or people that are pushing and pulling. When I'm at the grill, right, I have to tend the charcoal. I have to tend the meat. I'm outside. No one can get to me. People are happy that they don't have to prepare food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I get to eat something that's I know is going to end up being... I mean, I've probably put up two incredible stinkers out of a tremendous amount of winners in the past year. I'm going to tell you, one of my big stinkers, because I'll admit my failures, they're not all winners, but a failure was beef shanks, and they were too thin, and they just completely dried out, and it was inedible. But I've done oxtail, and they've been phenomenal, one of the best things I've done. I thought I could get them to do the same way, but they were too thin.
Too thin, yeah.
And there wasn't enough fat to braise and to melt down that connective tissue and make it melt in your mouth delicious.
This is why I wait to listen to your podcast just before lunch, because I'm like hungry
right
now.
There you go, baby. There you go. That's a term of
service. It always seems to like come around to it.
There you go. All right. Well, we're an hour and 20 minutes in. Wow. I forgot to thank Catherine Ryan, because I believe she brought the coffee.
She did bring the coffee.
And the silverware and stuff like that. Yeah, so, that Catherine, nice. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Catherine.
Kim, thank you for my birthday, organizing the birthday stuff.
You're welcome for your coffee rolls.
My coffee rolls.
They're yummy, right?
You're so sweet. GloucesterCast 304 is in the books. Boom!
Oh my goodness.